you. So it's lovely to be together again, isn't it? After a bit of a break and eating lots of food and having lots of family fun, the first time we're back together as church family, I love it. So old faces who are regrouping, those of you who've been away, students, really good to have you back again. And new faces as well. So it's fantastic to all be together as family. Even if this is your first time, this is family. This is church family. So we are starting off 2016 saying that we're here because we want to follow Jesus. That's it. We're not particularly interested in rules and regulations and tradition. We're interested in Jesus. At the very end of last term, those of you who were here at OH2, I talked about the last chapter of Romans, chapter 16. And just we went through an incredible list of very ordinary but very wholehearted followers of Jesus who did extraordinary things with their lives. And they knew without a shadow of a doubt who Jesus was, that he actually was who he said he was, the Son of the Most High God, and that he was really worth following. In fact, he was worth giving everything up for and following. And there's something that I just feel about the start of 2016, which is about us saying, you know what? We know who Jesus really is. And because we know who he really is, we say at the start of this year, he is worth my everything. He is worth following in every aspect of my life. He is worth being center stage. He's worth obeying. He's worth sacrificing for. He's worth every human ambition. He's worth giving up my whole life for, to follow him wholeheartedly. And I just felt as we kind of looked at those first century disciples, there was almost a sense in which God was wanting to say at the start of 2016, just pick up where they left off. I know there's been about 20 centuries in between, but pick up where they left off. They were outworking their God assignment, their great commission, the great commission to be wholehearted followers of Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus. And they were making other disciples. They knew what it was to be sent. They knew what it was to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. And here, 20 centuries later, we stand here, kind of on the shoulders of many others who've gone before, and say we're still in the same game. We're still aligned to the same vision, the mission of God, which is to make disciples. It has never been revoked. There's been no angels come down and say, oh, you know that great commission? We're just going to rewrite that. It's never been revoked and it's not yet fulfilled. And so we stand here saying that we are continuing to be committed to the same cause of Christ, which is to be a wholehearted follower of Jesus, a disciple, and to make others. And that's the core purpose of who we are as church. What we do is to be and make disciples. And there's many and varied ways that we do that. But if we lose that as our end goal, as our end game, then we've lost our anchor. We've lost our core purpose. That's why we celebrate baptisms. We make such a big deal of it every term. Because we're celebrating another bit of the Great Commission's being fulfilled. More people are aligning themselves publicly to the lordship, the kingship of Jesus Christ. That's why we make such a big deal when people find Jesus and join the church. It's why we celebrate spiritual growth and numerical growth, because it's fulfilling the Great Commission. And so I just want to ask a couple of questions right at the start of 2016, thinking about this whole thing of being a disciple, which is a follower, an apprentice, a learner of Jesus, and making other disciples. And the two questions are these. What will you put in place to grow as a disciple this year? You may have already thought about that. Rich and I are going to do our goals this evening. We sit down and we look at every area of our life and we set some goals. because we don't want to stay the same. You know, we want every decade of our lives to be looking and speaking and acting a bit more like Jesus. And who are you helping in their discipleship journey this year? Maybe it's actually introducing someone to the wonderful, glorious gospel, the person of Jesus. Maybe it's encouraging and supporting and nurturing someone who's just started in their faith. So those two things, if you've not yet thought about them, it's worth doing. So that by the end of 2016, you can look back and you can think, you know, that decision I made on the 3rd of January, maybe I'm going to book a slot in the prayer room every week. Or I'm going to fast one meal a week and just go deeper in my relationship with Jesus. I'm going to more regularly read scripture. I'm going to commit myself to encourage 3 people a day. Whatever it might be, there are small decisions and small habits that if we cultivate them now, will end up making a big difference to the person we are at the end of this year. So that's still our vision, making 21st century disciples. Just to give you a little heads up, something we're going to talk about the weekend away, we're thinking about whether to add something onto the end of our vision statement. It's been our vision statement for about 15 years, but just give you a little heads up. If we were to add the word who, what might be the end of that sentence? But keeping it short and memorable. Anyway, that's just something we're thinking about. So, under that overarching vision of making 21st century disciples sits 3 goals: being an apostolic resource community, being a city of refuge, and being an open heaven. And we've done a short teaching series on both city of refuge and open heaven, but we've not actually done any kind of teaching on the first one, apostolic resource community, even though perhaps it requires the most explanation, being the most wordy of the 3. So this term is going to be looking at what does it mean for us all together to be an apostolic resource community. Now, this particular goal of being what's affectionately known as an ARC, Apostolic Resource Community, has been provoked by Billy Kennedy. And Billy Kennedy is the leader of Pioneer. Pioneer is a network of about 80 churches. And this is the vision of Pioneer. Alongside others, because we like to be humbly confident, you know, we totally recognize that we just play our part, a small but significant part. Alongside others, we are committed to the re-evangelization of our nation. So we know there's been moves of God across the UK before. And there have been many people who've come to know him and many churches have been planted. And we're committed to seeing that happen again. The re-evangelization of our nation and to see the kingdom of God expressed in every sphere of society and culture. That's the vision of Pioneer. That's the network of churches that we're part of. The strategy to achieve this vision is this: to build strong and healthy churches that are served by, here's the word, apostolic resource communities that will support these individual church communities as they reach out beyond themselves into their towns, cities, and regions. So you'll find that on the Pioneer website, and that's what we get behind. That's what we're part of, the bigger picture of what Open Heaven is part of. So Billy, the leader of Pioneer, has identified 7 of these apostolic resource communities, and we're one of the 7. And that's meant over the last couple of years, the leaders of the 7 ARCs have been meeting together to learn more with him. What does it actually mean to be apostolic? And what does it mean to lead and develop and grow an apostolic resource community, which is you guys? This is us. This is what we are. And so these words perhaps need some unpacking. So here we go. Apostle. It means sent one. So to be apostolic means to be sent. And that is really significant. We're actually calling our weekend away, "You Are Sent." That's the theme. And that's, I guess, by the time we get to Easter, If there has been a greater revelation and conviction in every single person who's part of Open Heaven of this, I am sent, then we would have achieved our goal for teaching on this whole series. I am sent. What does it mean to be sent by God? To wake up in the morning, whether you're about to do the school run, whether you're about to go to lectures, whether you're about to go to work, and actually wake up and leave your front door knowing I am sent. I'm a sent one. What does it mean for you to know I am on a God assignment? I am here sent from heaven to earth to bring more of heaven's perspectives into the sphere of influence that God has put around me, to birth some divine strategies. So, what does it mean to be sent? To be apostolic is to pioneer into some space or gap where the kingdom of heaven is not evident and establish another outpost of heaven on earth. Okay, that's what the apostolic bit is. It's you see where there's gaps. The kingdom of heaven is not yet established there. So that means, in some examples, where there are gaps of vibrant, relevant expressions of church, churches get planted. That's why we have an OH1 that's been planted, an OH2 that's been planted, a messy church that's been planted, Connect Annecy that's been planted. Apostolic means when you see the gaps, there's vision and there's energy and there's conviction that those gaps have to be filled by an outpost of heaven on earth. Those gaps have to be filled by a vibrant, relevant expression of church. It also means where there is a gap of heaven's values, of justice, of righteousness, of truth, of hope, of beauty, that companies and charities and community projects get started to fill the gap, to bring more of heaven to earth. It means wherever God's will is not being done and his kingdom is not coming on earth as it is in heaven, which is part of the Lord's Prayer that we're told to pray, then apostolic people, which we all are, have got authority to see spiritual breakthrough and to see those gaps filled. Wherever we are, workplace, neighborhood, campus, school gates. So that's the apostolic bit. The apostolic bit is the pioneering bit, the sent bit. We fill the gaps. What does the resource bit mean? It means we serve or strengthen what already exists. So they're kind of two different things. One is we're breaking new ground, we're starting new things. The other is we are breathing life and health and strength into what already exists. So to resource others means we give away whatever we've got that will move others ahead. And so it means we have to be kingdom-minded and big-hearted. I was reminded of a conversation. Martin, who leads the NFI church in town, said to me, this was before he was leading the well, he said, is it true that way back when the well first started and the system at the time was that the network of churches wouldn't recognize a church as a full church plant until they'd got to 40 members, that you whispered to the first leader of the well, we could lend you X number of people to get up to your 40, and then you'd be able to recognize as a full church plant. And I said, yes, that is true. That we are kingdom-hearted, big-hearted, because we want to see the whole of the body of Christ flourish. We're not in it for ourselves. We're not in it for brand. We're not in it for reputation. We're in it because we love the body of Christ. So to resource others means that it looks like Club Mission on tour. Woo! Club Mission on tour. It looks like the Sozo team, who at times do more appointments for the rest of the Church of Loughborough than for Open Heaveners. It looks like a team of us serving at Spring Harvest this year. It looks like church leaders' days that are held here once a term with prophetic appointments led by very ordinary open heaveners. And every prophetic appointment is always filled by church leaders who are coming from across the region, sometimes across the nation, because it's rare for a church leader to be able to just receive. Every prophetic slot gets filled on those church leader days. It looks like backer providing advice and help to others who might want to start projects for asylum seekers. It looks like other churches using courses we've written. And it looks like all the ways that all of you serve and strengthen and resource others in your sphere of influence. That you give away what you've got to move others ahead. That's what we're called to. And community. Basically, it's not an apostolic resource center, it's a community. Because church is people, and there's an apostolic grace on the whole community. That means every single one of us knowing we are sent by God. I am sent by God. I am part of an apostolic resource community. I am on a God assignment, and I actually believe that. And I would encourage every single one of us to get revelation from Father. What does it mean? So that you can say it and really, really own it. So we're all accessing heaven's perspective, heaven's power, and see the kingdom of heaven advanced. So Billy, who's kind of like the cause of all this trouble, Apostolic Resource Community, has identified 6 marks of these things that he sees, and these are all areas that we're going to be speaking about in the coming weeks. And these are the 6 marks. Presence, so a community who knows how to cultivate the presence of God. 2, mission, that we're regularly seeing people who are finding Jesus, getting baptized, becoming disciples. Gathering and supporting leaders, that there's a sense of strength and safety where other leaders feel they can actually trust us and lean into us. We're a safe place. Development of Ephesians 4 team after the weekend away. Ali and a team are going to be leading a school of prophecy. So just as we are kind of raising up the apostolic, we want to be raising up the prophetic and the teachers and the evangelists and the pastors so that the full 5-fold ministry that God has given to the church gets developed. Center for training with discipleship courses like Ignite, conferences. We're hoping to have a Heart Styles conference, a children's work conference this year, and Catalyst for Unity. There is one church in Loughborough with multiple expressions centered on Christ to transform our community. The last Sunday of this month, all the churches in the town are closing down their evening services and we're gathering together to be one church, a united service, worshipping with one voice. It's going to be a mix, I think, the World Band and the URC organist. I don't know how that's going to work. I think the final song is going to somehow be merging the two. And there'll be some songs that will be organ and some that will be band-led. But, you know, this is the church. This is young and old brothers and sisters together. And we're going to have John McGinley from Leicester come and speak to us, leader of New Wine Midlands. So I want to end with these 2 questions, and then we're going to do some releasing of prophetic encouragement to each other. So, who are you sent to? If you clearly can say, I am sent, then there will be some people. It might be a people group. It might be individuals. It might be a neighborhood, a geography. Who am I sent to? And then the second question, what am I sent to do there? What is it in 2016 that God has said, I'm sending you to advance the kingdom? What does that mean? What does it look like for you? Is there a workplace alpha that God wants to ask you to do? Is there some people that he just wants you to begin to say, I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to step out and ask for supernatural breakthrough in your life? Are there new things he wants you to start up? Projects? What is it that he wants you to do? So we're going to hand out some pen and paper. I'm going to stop talking because I really want Father to speak now. I'll get out of the way. And so this pen and paper is going to come round. And I want you just to reflect on these 2 questions particularly. Who am I sent to? Are there people of peace, people who are exploring faith, that God has put maybe a new next door neighbor or somebody on your course or someone in your workplace? Who are they? You are sent. Every single day of 2016, you are sent. So who are you sent to? And then what are you sent to do there? God wants to speak. So have a think. If it helps to close your eyes, then do that. If you want to find another space, you know, feel free to go and sit down against the wall, against a pillar. Just think. And say, Father, speak. I am sent. I am on a God assignment. If also God pops into your head different things around your own discipleship journey that you want to make a note of, then do that. Any small habits he wants you to cultivate that will make a big difference, then write those down as well. Okay, so a few minutes on these questions, and then we'll see what God wants to say.
Choosing celebrate.